Good morning. It's a privilege and an honor to be here with you to help in the celebration of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. And I'd call your attention to the Latin phrase with the English translation that appears in the bulletin, which was Calvin's motto. It was emblazoned across all his work. He was known for it, and down through the centuries since his time, this statement is associated with him. I'll read it in Latin, and then let's say it together in English. Cor meum tibi offero, Domine, prompte et sincere. Together, I offer you my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely. At Redeemer University College, I teach church history and Eastern European history. One of the things we end up exploring as we do Eastern European history is how the gospel came to the Slavic peoples who'd spread throughout Eastern Europe. It didn't come from the West, from Rome. It came from Byzantium. And the missionaries, Cyril and Methodius, who first bore the gospel to them, had a particular problem, and that was that the Slavic languages hadn't diverged that much. It was generally understood throughout Eastern Europe. The Slavonic language had never been reduced to writing. So they invented an alphabet that you can still see in simplified form in Russian and Ukrainian and Serbian and Bulgarian printing, an alphabet in which they translated the words of the scriptures and the service books and psalms and hymns that people sang so that the peoples of Eastern Europe could understand what was being said. Now, in the midst of teaching all this heavy-duty stuff to my students, I point out to them that their parents are paying a lot of money for them to go to college. I know that's not a problem here. But their parents are paying a lot of money. They want to make sure they're getting good education. And one of the ways of convincing their parents that they're getting a good education is to come home and utter a meaningful phrase in a foreign language. And so what I teach them is, in Slavonic, the words for the invocation, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then I have them say it with me, and it goes like this. Vi imi Otca, I Syna, I Svyatoga Ducha, Amen. Now, we're not going to do that, but I want you guys to be able to come back here second term so that the faculty can be paid. You have to convince your parents that you're learning something, and nothing does it like a Latin phrase, meaningful. So I ask you to repeat after, let me explain it, and then I'll ask you to repeat after me. Cor meum is technically in the Latin order, heart my. Tibi offera means to you I offer. Domine is direct address to God. Prompte et sincere is simple, promptly and sincerely. So I'll say the first couple of words and ask you to repeat them, and then we'll gradually work through it until we can say the whole thing. Cor meum, tibi offero, Domine. Let's put it all together. Cor meum tibi offero, Domine. Prompte et sincere. Now we're going to try it all together. Cor meum tibi offero, Domino. Okay, let me try. All right. That was close, not quite right. Your parents won't know, but let's do it right. Cor meum tibi offero, Domine, prompte et sincere. And that means, as is indicated in the translation, I offer you my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely. Now, we hear this, and we're likely to misunderstand it because of our culture, because of the way things are framed and ideas are float around in our culture. Because in North American culture, as in much of Western Europe, the heart is the seat of the emotions. That's what we associate it with. I mean, we know it's a physical organ, but when we think of a heart in any kind of relationship to us otherwise than that, we think of it as the seat of the emotions. And so at Valentine's Day, when you celebrate love, what do? You get a heart-shaped box of chocolates, or you get Valentines with stylized hearts on them. If we carry that to this motto of John Calvin, we'll misunderstand it, because that's not what heart meant to him. You see, in other cultures, there have been different organs that have been associated with the emotions. Does anybody know what it was for the Latins, for the Roman Empire? The seat of the emotions was the liver. because the liver exudes certain biles that affect the way we respond to things. So for them, the seat of the emotions was the liver. And if you really love your honey on Valentine's Day, you would take her out for a dinner of liver and onions. Well, maybe skip the onions. Does anybody know what the seat of the emotions was for the ancient Hebrews? The bowels. The bowels. I don't even want to know. The point of this is that while we may associate heart with emotions, the Romans used to associate liver with emotions, or whatever, what Calvin is saying is not, Lord, I give you my emotions so I feel good all the time, or I can feel you around. That's not what he was getting at. What he had was rather, in view, the biblical understanding of the heart, which is not the same as what the Hebrews had said. For them, remember, the seat of the emotions is the bowels. In ancient Hebrew and in Christian culture among the Greeks, the heart is the center core of who you are. It's you at the deepest level. It's the center from which everything else comes. Not just your emotions, but your heart guides your emotions, it guides your intellect, it guides your will, it guides your instincts. It is what holds you together. It's what makes you a complete person. In the biblical view of the heart, the one to which Calvin is appealing here, speaks of the very core of us, the center of us, that directs all that we are and shapes us from our inmost being. Notice, again, just part of what was said in the readings. The writer of Proverbs is encouraging his students, addresses his children, apply your heart to instruction. If your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. The response back and forth. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord. Hear and be wise. Direct your heart in the way. Give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. The biblical notion of the heart is the deepest core of our being where everything comes together. A heart that was made for fellowship with God. A fellowship and relationship that's supposed to shape our thoughts, our choices, our emotions, our instincts, our responses, everything. You and I each have a heart, not just the physical beating organ. You and I have a core. And whether you know it or not, you've given it to somebody or something. You may not be aware of it, which is the dangerous point, but we always end up devoting ourselves to something which we find as kind of an integrating principle, the core of what's important to us. Maybe our heart is scattered. Scripture talks about people who are scattered like that, and they give their heart in all kinds of places and without really pulling it together. But you have a heart, and you've given it to somebody or something. I have a heart. I've given it to somebody, to something. Calvin recognized that as well. It's always the case with all of us, at all times, every one of us. And Calvin's motto calls us to recognize where we should be placing our heart. His motto was brave. It was bold. Calvin's life was not easy. It's not what he designed for himself. But as he yielded himself to God and opened himself up to what God had for him, God changed his purposes. God changed the direction of his life. God moved him in a particular direction, and he ended up doing things that he didn't intend to do to praise his own name. But 500 years later, we still remember what he ended up becoming because he gave his heart to God rather than to the scholarly pursuits that he thought were his calling when he was young. But Calvin's statement, Cor meum tibi offero Domine prompte et sincere, I give you my heart, I offer you my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely, is not distinctively Calvin. You find it in David, in Paul, in John, in the Virgin Mary, in Rebecca of old, in Deborah in the prophets. I submit to you, this is the only Christian response that's possible if we listen to the scriptures. Because God made us for himself. St. Augustine long ago, the bishop of Hippo in North Africa, back in the 300s and early 400s, he wrote something brilliant at the beginning of his magisterial work, The Confessions. He said, "You made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless. They know no peace until they rest in you, which doesn't mean suddenly you're not going to have any problems. It doesn't mean that you won't have to study for your math test. It does mean, though, that we can know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ as we give our hearts to the Lord. "I offer you my heart, Lord," promptly, means right away, and sincerely. Let's go back to that heart business the way we often think about it. You've probably had a boyfriend or girlfriend at some point or another that said, "Yes, yes, I love you." And then you found out he was calling your best friend on your cell phone and trying to set up a date. Not quite sincere. Perhaps you have a friend who says, "Oh yeah, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock rolls around, 10:15, about 10:45, something else came up promptly. You get the impression that whatever they were doing with you, whatever promises they'd made to you, didn't really capture much of their attention, didn't really hold on to them very well. God's not interested in half measures. He's not interested in you getting around to him when you have time. And Calvin doesn't think it's a good idea to promise God something and then cut back on it because you got busy. What he says is in his motto, is a motto that can challenge and should challenge each of us. Quo meum tibi offro Domine prompte et sincere. I offer you my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely. Let me challenge you to make that your motto, or if not your motto, one of your favorite phrases, whatever you want to call it. Think about it. Where is your heart? You'll give it somewhere. You've already given it somewhere. To whom? To what have you given it? Pleasure? Acquisition of things? Enjoyment? Relaxation? Physical fitness? Whatever it may be. What is it that deep down inside integrates you and pulls you together and gives you a purpose in life and at least helps you see the ways you should go? I submit to you, if you give your heart to the Lord, with Calvin, with Paul, with David, with the Virgin Mary, with Rebecca, with Deborah, with God's people through the ages, if you give your heart to the Lord, you'll know peace. But let me challenge you to do something. Try this. All of you wake up in the morning at some point, sometimes just before class, sometimes a little bit earlier than others. Well, let me challenge you to do this for the next month. As you, or perhaps before you get out of bed, raise your eyes to the heavens or close them, whatever your practice is, and say to the Lord, "Cor meum tibi offre, Domine, prompte et sincere." First thing you do, or say it in English, "I offer you my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely." And then keep it in mind, try to live up to it. If you say it every day for the course of the month, it'll drive itself into your thoughts and it'll be there with your conscience and consciousness and your attitudes through the day. And I assure you, at the end of the month, you'll be a different person. Do it a month. Challenge God to fill your heart. Offer it to him promptly as you get up in the morning, sincerely without reservation, and see who you are and who he is in a month. As a way of closing this before we pray, let's say together, first in Latin, then in English, the motto of John Calvin, which I invite to make yours in Latin or in English. Let's say it together. Cor meum tibi offero, Domine, prompte et sincere. I offer you my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, with Augustine of old, we acknowledge that you have made us for yourself, to have fellowship with you, to know you, to give ourselves to you. And our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant us the wisdom to recognize what others in the past, and here John Calvin, have recognized in the motto with which, by which he lived his life. Help us to make this the guiding principle also for our response to you. And let us, Lord, indeed live up to these words, each of us and all of us together to your glory. And grant, Lord, that we who thus take on this challenge may see by your grace the steps of transformation in us that enable us to know you better, to love you better with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And to that end, Lord, we offer you our hearts, Lord, promptly and sincerely, through Christ our Lord. Amen.